It's a typical overcast morning in San Francisco's Dog Patch neighborhood when I arrive at the headquarters of biotech company Wildtype. In a city known for tech, Wildtype isn't an anomaly. But in the world of sustainable seafood, they're making waves.
Hi.
Hey. Hey, how are you doing?
Hi, good.
I'm Dalton.
Nice to meet you.
Inside the Wildtype offices, a group of young scientists mills around in sneakers and graphic tees obscured by white lab coats. Dalton Thomas, the company's head of food service sales, seats me at a kitchen bar. Behind it, an in-house sushi chef prepares me a plate of their product before it hits the U.S. market. Lab-grown salmon.
So that's it.
Oh my gosh.
It's pretty wild.
Pretty nuts, yeah.
It's a square block of marbled pink flesh, almost indistinguishable from traditional salmon, except this fish has never touched the ocean.
So we have the nigiri version of the wild-type salmon. It's already brushed with soy sauce, so it's just ready to eat. Some mustard, miso, and chives. And then this is more like a typical salmon avocado roll.
Wildtype's fish is intended to be enjoyed raw, a decision made in part because of the sheer size and profitability of the sushi industry, but also because, as Thomas explains, cell-cultured salmon is simply not as appetizing when cooked.
It's not fishy.
Yeah, it's like really smooth.
Yeah.
That's how the best kinda... way I can describe it.
Kind of homogenous.
It does taste like fish, which is weird.
It's not weird because it's fish.
It's literally fish. Yeah.
While lab-grown salmon may seem futuristic, the technology and the product are already here, on my plate. But is it really fish?
The basic idea is we cultivate real salmon cells, and we combine those with a plant-based scaffold or a sort of a three-dimensional matrix to help create, you know, like a really nice appearance and taste and texture.
That's Justin Kolbeck, co-founder and CEO of the company.
The super cool thing is we've actually been able to replicate, you know, fat and this sort of connective tissue that, you know, that white stuff when you're biting into a piece of raw salmon that kind of gets stuck between your teeth, and then the fatty parts without having to use any genetic engineering.
To make this product, technicians harvest stem cells from a wild salmon. Then, in the same way a baker might feed a sourdough starter, they feed the cells with different proteins, amino acids, salts, and sugars. The scaffold, as Kolbeck calls it, works like a 3D ladder, made of different plant cells. The fish cells mesh with the scaffold, which then directs the cells to grow into fat or tissue, giving the salmon its texture and shape. But Wildtype's creators say their mission goes beyond the novelty of growing meat in a lab.
If you look at the long run trends, returning stocks of Pacific salmon in general along the Pacific coast have been declining pretty substantially over the last 40, 50 years. The FAO predicts we're going to need something like 30 million more tons of seafood to satisfy demand by the end of this decade. I found myself asking, and I know a lot of others have asked, is where's all that fish going to come from?
Kolbeck says the company's aim is only to supplement the existing seafood industry, not supplant it. The company has even gone so far as to invest in conservation efforts around one of the world's biggest sockeye salmon fisheries in Bristol Bay, Alaska.
I don't think it is a solution as much as a diversion.
Eric Jordan is a multi-generational commercial fisherman. For most of his life, he's made a living trolling for wild salmon in the waters of Southeast Alaska. He says he doesn't believe lab-grown salmon poses a threat to his livelihood, but he does have other concerns.
I catch these creatures that are the most wonderful food on earth. I can't imagine this lab-produced flesh is going to taste anything like wild Alaska salmon. So I'm not threatened by that. I am concerned about existential climate change threat and trawl bycatch.
Alaska is one of the biggest producers of wild-caught salmon in the world. But in recent years, the state has struggled with the environmental stressors of a warming planet. Salmon runs virtually disappeared from Western Alaska's largest river systems in the last couple of years, and now the famous Bering Sea crab harvest has crashed too. Even so, Jordan feels a seafood alternative might be taking resources away from the conservation efforts.
There's a lot of places you can invest money to protect wild salmon without investing it in producing an alternative to eat.
But momentum is growing for cell-cultured foods. David Kaplan, a professor of biomedical engineering at Tufts, says Wildtype is far from alone.
in the U.S. There is an incredible number and growing number of companies out there trying to grow just about any food you might want to eat or have eaten. And there's a company now trying to emulate that.
Kaplan runs the university's lab studies in tissue engineering. In his view, the work has become essential.
There's absolutely no way we can meet the protein needs and the meat needs that is growing around the world. Consumers want meat, they like meat, and that's not going to go away.
The Food and Drug Administration has yet to approve any cell-cultured meat for consumption in the U.S. However, approval is expected within the next year. And Wildtypes Colbeck is banking on the future, hoping to one day transition his cell-cultured salmon from a niche market to something more universal.
We haven't scaled this up to the point where we can make this product super cheaply yet. And it would be amazing if we could make one of nature's healthiest foods so accessible that it would be as, you know, cheap and available as like a Big Mac. That is the thing that gets me out of bed in the morning.
While we may not be seeing the Golden Arches carrying a lab-grown McFish anytime soon, there's no doubt that the landscape of the seafood industry is changing, and cell-cultured salmon will be making its way to the market sooner than later. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Tosh Kimmel.